This afternoon, I would like to start a series of messages that I've entitled Christian Life Commandments. Christian Life Commandments. And as we look in these Christian Life Commandments, these aren't the kind of commandments where we might say, thou shalt not, or thou shalt this or that. You might think of these more of virtues, thinking of them in a general way. And that's virtues is what some commentators will actually call them. And for this series of messages, our text is going to come from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So if you'd like, you can be turning over there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to begin reading in verse 16 and read through verse 22. But what we're going to do here as we look at this, we're going to read the complete text from week to week because we want to help us to remember how we should be acting in our daily lives towards our service towards God. And one thing is for sure, as we look at all of these things, none of them should be new. All of these should be something we're familiar with, but sometimes we just need to be indeed reminded. So if you would, I'd actually ask if you would join with me as we read here our text for today, beginning 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 22. And it says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Join with me. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. This afternoon, we're going to look upon verse 16 and looking at the subject of rejoice evermore. You know, as Christians, we are not immune to the things that go on in this world. We face times of uncertainty. We face times of trial. We face times of temptations. We face times, indeed, of great sorrow. But as Christians, there should be something different about our attitude when we encounter all of these types of events. Because no matter what may come, the Christian has an underlying joy in our heart, knowing that God is indeed there with us. And knowing that God is in control no matter what may happen, whether it be the death of a loved one, whether it be the sickness of a child, whether it be the loss of a job, whatever it might be, we know that our God is in control and that He's mightier and that He's bigger than any situation here on this earth. You know, as you look at others, as you look at the lost, you know, the best that they can ever hope for without Christ is happiness. But happiness is a temporal emotion, folks. It is dependent on positive events. And folks, life is not always one big positive event, is it? We know that that's not the case. The world is full of sin, and therefore it is full of the consequences of sin. So that means without Christ, truly there is also a lot of unhappiness in the world. And if you look around, it doesn't take very long to actually see that. Today, people turn to all kinds of different hopes in order to try to find some bit of happiness in this life. Some turn towards prescriptions. Some people turn towards the street corner drugs. Some people turn to alcohol. Some people turn towards sex. Some people look to things that are less destructive in life. Maybe it's an exercise program that's just out of this world. Maybe it's those adrenaline activities like jumping off bridges like some people will be doing here in West Virginia in a couple of weeks. Or whatever it is. They're just looking for that next natural high. Get that little endorphin kick and to bring a little bit of happiness into a life full of sorrow. That is, until indeed they get home and the high goes down and then they start looking for something else. Rejoicing, though, is something different. Rejoicing is something that comes really from deep within. It's not attached to some here today and gone tomorrow happiness. It springs forth from joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is my desire to all that are here today, that your joy might be full, no matter what situation may be ahead of you. And I know some of you right now are thinking to yourself, how in the world can I be joyful today? Well, what I want to do is look at some verses that we can rejoice in here, looking at different circumstances. And by the way, the circumstances that we're going to be looking at are not ideal circumstances in life. They're not mountaintop experiences in life. So if you're feeling cast down, I hope and pray that you can find comfort and joy once again in the Word of God. So let's begin our study in Luke in chapter 6. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 6. And we're going to begin reading just a couple verses here. Luke chapter 6 and verses 22 and 23. Brother Greg was talking this morning about sight and eyesight and different types of sight and glasses and such. And, you know, from week to week, I'll listen to Mark Campbell. And I always, if you ever watch Mark Campbell, you know, he's come preaching for us here a couple of days. He has a set of glasses he puts up on his head whenever they're up and down and up and down the whole time. And I'm destined towards that pretty soon, I'm afraid. I'm getting a harder time with that. And you'll either see them at the end of my nose or up on my head. It's coming very quickly. But Luke chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, it says, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did ye fathers unto the prophets." Leap in joy. When was the last time you leaped in joy, folks? In case you haven't noticed, as we look at these verses and look what's described here, but, you know, as we think about this, you know, Christians themselves are not exactly the most popular people on this earth, are they? They're certainly not the most popular person at the party. That I can promise you. You want to see people scatter really quick? Tell them you're a Baptist preacher. And they scatter real quick at a party. Because you immediately make them feel uncomfortable. They're afraid you might talk to them about sin, maybe, perhaps about Jesus, perhaps about hell. You know, I remember a few years ago, and Austin remembers this, no doubt, but a few years ago, I took Austin rafting. It was his first rafting trip, and I don't think he's ever been back now that I think about it. But so it might have been his first and last. I don't know. But, you know, there was a guy in the front of the boat, you know, as we're looking at this boat, and I don't know if you've ever seen these camel packs or whatever. People can put water in them as they're out hiking or something. He had a camel pack, and his was full of alcohol, and he was very boisterous about how it was his birthday and how he was going to drink the whole way down the river. And on the other side of the boat, there was a very open lesbian couple there. And Austin and I are in the boat, and I'm thinking, oh, brother. But as we start the journey, and you're out there paddling a little bit, the guide was like, all right, let's introduce ourselves. And we're going around the boat introducing ourselves. And he got to Austin before me, and he's like, "And Dad's a Baptist preacher." And you could see the look on their face was just like, oh. And I'm pretty sure that if I would have fell out of the boat, they wouldn't have got me up. So, because their happiness was gone. You know, we're not the most popular people at the party. You know, and as I think about kids here, we have a lot of kids that come here from time to time. And, you know, as it's not so bad when they're in grade school necessarily, but as they get older in school, and as the more that they hold on to Christian values, they're going to find themselves outside certain circles. And they're going to find themselves sometimes not just outside of certain circles with kids, but sometimes with teachers as well. And sometimes they face persecution, getting picked on over these things. You know what the Bible tells us to do in these cases is not to go home and feel like alone and sad. The Bible tells us to rejoice in this situation, to rejoice in it. Let your joy be full when other people hate you or desire to separate from you because of your devotedness to the things of God. Tells us to do what? Leap in joy as we rejoice over it, folks. Why? You know, because indeed we're standing for God. And sometimes, you know, it might be that the person who separates from you, might be a longtime friend. You know, you think about some friends that you have in life, and then when you're saved and you're not suddenly going off and doing certain things, you might find that they don't want anything to do with you anymore. And sometimes friendships disappear when it comes to Christ. But sometimes the separations are even harder, folks. Some people are raised in a family religion, so to say. You know, they're devout Irish Catholics or the family's all Free Will Baptist or something like that. And folks, you come to the grace of God here, you'll find out sometimes that families don't really want much to do with you anymore. Kind of separate away from you, so to say. So sometimes that happens. Well, you know what? Christ had some words about situations like that. And if you would, turn with me over to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew in chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 34. These are Christ's words for when situations like this come into our life, when others despise us, disassociate with us, make fun of us, whatever it might be for our stance for the Word of God. Now, look here in verse 34. It says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on this earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Folks, you think about the conversion that was going on during this time period. You had people who were coming to Christ who had grown up Jewish in nature, and they're thinking, "Well, what in the world are you doing turning towards this false Messiah over here?" That kind of thing. And then you had separation going on there. And that kind of separation has really gone on for a long time with families. And no doubt it's a great sorrow when it occurs, and no one desires it. But the Lord indeed tells us in times like this we should rejoice in the fact. He tells us in the day that you stand for Him, instead of standing with family, instead of standing with friends, your reward will become great in heaven, folks. Your reward becomes great in heaven. Folks, the things of this earth are temporal, right? Dust we are, and dust we shall return, and everything else in this world is just rusting and rotting alongside of us. But the things of God are indeed eternal, and our reward that we shall receive is one that fadeth not away. And folks, that we can rejoice in that when the world despises us. Now let's look at our second thing that we can rejoice in today. If you would, turn with me over to Romans in chapter 12. Romans in chapter 12. Again, just looking at a couple verses over here. It says in verse number 11, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." Here Paul is outlining the Christian lifestyle. Each of these phrases are standalone statements, but I wanted to read you this because I wanted to show you that between serving the Lord and being patient in our tribulation comes rejoicing in hope. You see, there is nothing that helps us serve the Lord more in our times of tribulation than rejoicing in the hope that we have in Christ at the same time. Folks, if you are saved here this afternoon, let me tell you something. You have indeed a great hope. And the hope that you have is not here in this sin-cursed world, but it is indeed in the world that is to come. Folks, you are a child of the King. You are an heir to what He has. And the last time I checked, folks, He owns it all. Did you ever notice, folks, that the songs that we sing, so many of the songs that we sing, that by the time that you get to the third or the fourth verse, that they've turned their focus towards heaven? We love singing about heaven, don't we? You know, last week we sang how beautiful heaven must be. We often sing what a day that will be. I've got a mansion. We sang Beulah Land today. Those songs just start off singing about heaven, right? Because we love to sing about heaven. We love to sing about its beauty. We love to think and sing about being at Jesus' feet. And I tell you what, folks, I don't know a Christian that ever gets tired of singing about heaven. It's a wonderful thing to sing about. Why? Because that's where our hope is. That's where our Savior is. And I have a desire to be with Him. In this life, folks, I may face failures, lots of failures. I might be flat broke. My business may be bust. I might have to file bankruptcy. I might lose all that I have. But, folks, that is not the end. It is not the end. I know that He will take care of me, take care of my needs, no matter how bad, indeed, they may be. God has something better for me just over in the glory land. Are you a Christian friend this morning rejoicing in the hope that we have in Christ? Are you rejoicing in the hope of heaven? We know so many. We think of Scotty this morning, how he's gone on, folks. And we know, of course, what was his testimony? His testimony was that of Christ. And we know today he's there. Those saints that have gone on before us, he's there. And that's where our desire is to be. That's where our hope is at. And folks, that's what Paul told us to rejoice in. And Paul rejoiced in the hope of his return. Oh, he said in Philippians 2 and 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Brothers and sisters, the day of Christ is soon approaching. I believe that with all of my heart. I know that today we are indeed closer to that day than we've ever been in the history of this world before. The clock is counting down. And someday, folks, whether it be today, whether it be tomorrow, whether it be 10 years in the future or whatever it may be, I know that the day is coming when the trump shall sound, my Christ shall descend into the heavens above, and He will call up His people and take them home to a city not built with hands. And there we will be forever with the Lord, folks, whether it be there in heaven or here upon this earth as He sets up this earthly kingdom. I think sometimes we forget about that part. We just think about the heaven, but there's more than just heaven. You know, we have also the kingdom here upon earth that we're going to be part of as well. And no matter whether it's there, whether it's here on a new heaven, a new earth, no matter where it's at, folks, my hope is with Him. And that's where our hope should be at as well. And folks, if we keep that hope in perspective, we indeed, no matter what the situation is, we can find rejoicing in it where our hope is at. Now let's turn to our next thought over in Philippians in chapter 1. Philippians in chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. This is going to take some of you by shock. It says, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preaching, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Now, Paul here is speaking to the church at Philippi, and he was speaking of some who took his situation and knew that he was in jail, and some of them with good hearts and good intentions, they went out and they tried to continue on preaching the word of Christ, and he was thankful for that. But there were some out there, folks, that were glad that Paul was in jail. And they went out and they took the word of God, and they didn't necessarily spread it with the best of intentions in the world. They had self-serving pretensions in their life. And sometimes their doctrine wasn't exactly right. Well, Paul says no matter what, he rejoiced again. He was full of joy. Why? Because no matter what their intentions, Christ was still being preached. Christ was still being preached. Now, how could Paul be joyful if some man was preaching something that wasn't quite right? Because he knew. He knew that salvation is not by man. Salvation is of God. And God can take even sometimes a messed up message and turn it into salvation as long as Christ is being preached. You know, we have a few brethren. I don't believe we have any here. But we have a few brethren that we fellowship with time to time that believe that salvation never occurs outside of a local New Testament Baptist church. And that position has no biblical merit whatsoever. It has grown out of doctrinal tradition and it's heresy. It's the same thing the Catholics, by the way, taught as they tried to convert the world by force. You know, folks, I don't necessarily like some of the things that they teach down at the Methodist Church. I don't think that you would either. You might not like what they teach over at the Congregational Church or down the five or six other Baptist churches down Main Street in Cerrito and Canova. But the fact is, folks, I can still rejoice that Christ is being preached. And God can use that message to save. And I'm going to tell you, folks, I believe with all my heart that you will find the elect of God in just about every assembly up and down these roads. And folks, as long as they've come through the blood, that's all that matters. As far as their salvation goes, they might be off in a lot of things. But it is the blood of Christ that saves, not religion. Now, of course, I would love for them to come to the whole truth of God's Word. By the way, I'd love for us to come to the whole truth of God's Word. I want to know the whole truth of God's Word, no matter what it is. But I would love to see them understand the sovereignty of God that saved them. I would love for them to understand the electing and irresistible grace of God. I'd like for them to understand indeed the sureness of the rock that their salvation is on. But in the meantime, like Paul, folks, I am going to rejoice that Christ is being preached. And you know what? Christ, too, had similar advice, right? He gave similar advice to the disciples. When there were some of the others out there who were casting out demons in their name and they knew that they weren't following along with them and the apostles wondered what they should do with that. In Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 40, it says, "And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part." We got too many Baptists who are at war with everybody else. But he's not against us. Folks, he's on our part. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know I wholeheartedly believe that the Lord has His churches that are built around the foundations that Christ laid and are centered in His Word. And folks, they're going to be here till the end of the age. But let's rejoice when we see the gospel being preached. And that doesn't mean that I'm not going to preach against some of the things that they do and some of the things that you see going on over in these churches, is because you need to know. You need to know the difference between right and wrong. And when you see somebody that goes to these churches, they say, "Hey, won't you come over here and take part of our service?" So you're not confused and you know what's right and what's wrong. You need to know those things. We need to know that. But I tell you what, in between, let's rejoice that Christ is being preached. Let's rejoice that today, Cerrito, the Word of God is being proclaimed. Now, for our next point, let's turn over a couple pages to chapter 4 in Philippians. In chapter 4 in Philippians, beginning in verse number 10. It says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now, at the last, your care of me have flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." Now, Paul at this time is writing this again from his home away from home, which is jail. Now, you know, in none of the letters that we see of Paul, he never writes a letter begging for money for himself. You never see him do that. Now, did Paul take gifts of churches? Absolutely he did. And he should have. Christ commanded that the churches should do that, to give to them that work in the fields. But some churches did not support him like they should have. Some people expected that he make his own way. But Paul here was in jail. He can't work, of course, this time. And the church at Philippi had been very generous to him in his ministry, and they're very generous to him even now when he was no longer with them, when he was in jail. And they sent him help both physically and financially. They sent someone to help him physically, and they sent money to financially help him. Paul here, now in this verse, is telling us that he is rejoicing in the Lord over their care for him. You know what he's doing? He's showing appreciation for what the church had done for him, and he rejoiced in it. Brothers and sisters, what Paul is doing here is showing gratefulness for the Lord's provisions. Now, God had placed it upon their heart to be a help to him. But folks, all of our help in life that God sends our way doesn't necessarily come through the aiding of a church. It doesn't necessarily. God truly blesses our lives every day and in every way. You know, he gives us a roof over our head. It might be a big house, it might be a small house, but folks, we all woke up this morning with a roof over our head. We had clothes on our backs. We have food in our pantry. You know, he gave us the health and the ability to come here to church once again, one more Sunday. He's even given us the ability to stay. You know, none of us have dropped over this morning in exhaustion or death or anything like that. God has given us the ability to continue on, and we should indeed rejoice in it. You know, we should be showing the Lord an attitude of gratitude for all that he does. And you know what? As we look back into our text verses here, we're going to be coming back to that thought. We're going to be coming back to that thought of giving God thanks. That's part of what's coming up. So I'm not going to dwell on it a lot right now, but it's something that we should be doing. I know a lot of times this time of year, people start thinking about Thanksgiving, start thinking about, you know, being thankful, that kind of things. But that attitude of Thanksgiving should be there year-round, folks. It should be there year-round, every day. We should be thankful to God. You know, it might be that you don't have as much as another person. It might be that. But, you know, folks, don't look at them and think, well, they've got more than me. Change your focus. Get an eyeglass prescription, right, brothers? As you were talking about earlier. Change the focus. Look at yourselves and look what God has blessed us with. Paul certainly didn't always have it great. We know that. You know, in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 11, it goes on to say, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me." Paul knew that no matter whatever lot he had in his life, no matter if he went to bed hungry, God was still going to be with him. You know, sad to say, we almost have to be in want in our life before we ever appreciate all the things that God has blessed us with. You ever notice that? When we have a lot, sometimes we just kind of forget God, but we get in a pinch, we start realizing how much God is truly blessing us. And, you know, Paul says that we need to be content with no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in. Such wonderful advice to us here, knowing that no matter what comes our way, God is strengthening us. You know, sometimes when the Lord is supplying our needs, like the church at Philippi here, it might come through somebody else. Somebody else might be coming as deliverance from the Lord to give us what we need in a time that we need it. And folks, they may come and give it in a time we don't think we need it. You know, I've told you before, there's times that people have given me things I thought, well, I don't need this. And then come a couple weeks later, that's exactly what I needed, almost to the penny in which I needed it, or what I needed in nature. You know, we used to, when people come to give you something and the Lord has placed upon their heart to give you something, don't try to refuse it. Don't try to say, you know, I don't need it, that kind of thing. God has placed it on their heart for a reason. Old Brother Hancock used to tell us all the time, he used to say, don't steal another man's joy in the Lord by trying to refuse a gift that the Lord has laid upon their heart. And folks, that's true. If God has laid something on our heart, accept it, take it along, put it aside, you'll need it. Every time I get something like that, I go, oh no, what's coming up? But let's turn on to the next point here. In Colossians now, in chapter, right here after the book of Philippians, Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 24. It says, we now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. You know, as we're looking in Philippians there, I told you that Paul was in jail, and so too he's in jail here. He's a prisoner at Rome, actually. And we look here and see what Paul suffered through as he's been presented, as he's went out and he's presented the gospel. You know, he's been beaten. He's been imprisoned. He's been shipwrecked. He's been left for dead. He's went through great trials, indeed, to deliver the gospel of Christ. In fact, Paul once talked about all the things that he had lost. And again, he said in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 7 through 8, he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Paul had lost it all in order to go out and deliver the gospel of Christ. He said, I don't care about those things. I'm not attached to those things. I'm attached to one, and that one is Christ. And when I see Christ being magnified, when I see people being saved, then I am happy. Then I am content. And you know, I think about these verses, and I think about the loss of certain things, and I think of some of the missionaries that we have that go out into the world, and they go to some of these places that I mean, they're not going to Mexico City. I mean, in Mexico City, folks, you might not like it, but you can get everything there that you can get here. Okay? But I'm talking about these people that go out into the world and are going to places where they can't get their hands on everything in the world and don't have the comforts that we have here. Things like a hot shower, things like a bowl of cereal, things like that that we take for granted that are always there. They give up those things in order to go to a place to deliver the Word of God. They suffer the loss because God is sending them forth and they rejoice in it. And you know, I think about our service here in this country and our service in this country, folks. Let's just face it. You know, we may not give up a lot here. We might not in our service as far as material possessions and the things that we have. But that doesn't mean that when we go out to proclaim the Word of God, or when we serve God, we don't suffer loss, because there are times that we should suffer loss. There are. And I'm going to tell you one of the ways that we suffer loss a lot here, and that's our time. And you may not consider that a big thing, but you know, sometimes we live in a world that, you know, you've got to get to point A to point B in a certain amount of time, right? You expect our life is scheduled here almost every minute of the day, seemingly, and what we're going to do. But listen, sometimes people will actually want to talk to you about Christ. They'll want to ask you questions about the Lord, about salvation, and all of these things. And I know sometimes that in my office, I'll have a patient come in, they know that I'm a preacher, and sometimes out of the blue, they'll have a question. Or maybe they're going to church and they're being taught something they don't understand, and sometimes they'll ask me. And you know what? I know that I got a person next door, and I know that I've got a lobby with patients out there, but guess what I do? I stop what I'm doing and we talk through it. You know, it's a loss of time, and sometimes we've got to do that, and sometimes it's, you know, maybe not everybody can do that at work. I understand that, because they got bosses that'll fire them if they do. But you know, outside of work, you have the ability to lose a little bit of time for the sake of growing the kingdom of God. And folks, we should rejoice in that. We should rejoice in the fact that there is a gain that comes through it. And, you know, somebody says, you know, you'd like to come to church and they don't have a ride and they live on the other side of town. Suffer the loss and go and get them. And I understand that sometimes suffering that loss means that it's also going to cost you some money and gas to get there. But that's okay too. Because I want to tell you something, folks. I don't believe that you'll ever spend one dime on the furtherance of this gospel that God will not bless you back with, whether it's monetarily, health, or whatever it is. You are not going to be out for the gospel. God will provide. That I promise you. So as we end here this afternoon, think of our text verse. What was it? Rejoice evermore, right? This afternoon I've spoken about many things to rejoice in. Many times of suffering, persecution, loss, whatever it may be. We've talked about things that the lost could never rejoice in because they do not have a hope in Christ. They do not have a hope in tomorrow. But you know what this verse is really the conclusion to it all. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. You see, we are to rejoice in the Lord at all times. We are to rejoice in the Lord in all things. We ought to rejoice ever the more. Not just when we're on the mountaintops, but while we're in the valleys and when we're everywhere in between. We ought to rejoice every time we hear the name of Christ being proclaimed. Rejoice every time that evil is called evil and good is called good for His name's sake. My friends, we have much to be joyful over today, much to rejoice in. God has blessed us here. He has blessed us in our lives. He has blessed us here at Grace. Take time to rejoice in the Lord today. Leap with joy in your life, folks. And if you can't do it physically, I hope you can do it in your heart. If you're here and lost, let me ask you, where is your hope? Is it in the things of this earth that are fading away when happiness comes and goes with it? Well, let me tell you today, there is a place that you can go to for hope. There's a place that you can go to find a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. And that is the cross of Christ. And I hope and pray that today, if you're lost, that indeed you can look towards Him. And there you will find joy that will last indeed forever.